It's time for Rebel Extra. This is your team, Las Vegas, and we want to hear from you. Call us at 364-1100. That's 364-1100. Now, live from the Finley Toyota Studios, it's Bernie Fratto and John Von Tobel.
Well, the 12 days of Christmas continued tonight at the Thomas & Mack as the Rebels played their fourth game in 9 nights. As non-conference play will come to an end this week. And tonight's opponent, the Southern Illinois Salukis, came to town as part of the Mountain West Missouri Valley Conference Challenge. Both teams, well, they entered the game with 6-5 records, and a UNLV win would ensure the Rebels would enter conference play with an above 500 record. But the Rebels saw a 35-28 halftime lead evaporate in the second half, as the Salukis tied the game at 48 with 10:30 to go, as turnovers continued to plague UNLV the entire game. But in the end, a clutch three by Tyrell Green and back-to-back steals and a layup by Javon Mooring, and it saved a 68-61 victory in what arguably is the Rebels' most impressive win of this young season, and they run their record to 7-5. Welcome back to another edition of Rebel Extra, the post-game show devoted to you, the fans and supporters of UNLV Runner Rebel Basketball. Rebel Extra is brought to you by our proud sponsors, Angel Park Legacy in Durango Hills, OB Sports' most complete golf course experiences in Las Vegas, Diamondback Land Surveying, from brick walls to the Taj Mahal. Diamondback Land Surveying are your land surveying experts. 8-Ball Bail Bonds, if you had more fun at the game than the law allows, call 8-Ball Bail Bonds to get you out of jail. And Pizza My Dear with a smoke and lunch deal. A 12-inch pizza for only $5 with two locations to serve you. Go to pizzamydear.com. We come to you after every game this season. We want to hear from you, Las Vegas. This is your team. Give us a call, 364-1100, and be part of the action. Or you can text your thoughts at 69187. Please preface your text with ESPN. Now, before we go any further, let me introduce my broadcast team. To my left, turning all the dials, keeping us glued together, is producer extraordinaire, Bobby Machado. He'll also be taking all of your calls at 364-1100. And to my right, I'm joined again by the gentleman who has his own show on Sunday mornings on our sister station 1340 Out of Line, and that would be Mr. Brian Feldman. Brian, any way you slice it, this game to me felt like a conference game. There was tension early. They were evenly matched teams, part of the Missouri Valley Conference Challenge. Southern Illinois, a 22-win team last year, featured a terrific point guard and a savvy team that really gave the Rebels a real tussle. I don't think there's any argument here. This is by far the Rebels' most impressive win of the year.
Oh, there's no question about it, Bernie. The Salukis, as you pointed out on Saturday, could probably compete at the middle echelon of the Mountain West Conference. They're that kind of a team. And as a matter of fact, in 11 games in the Mountain West, I guess now 12, they're what? They're 6-6. They're 500 now after tonight's loss to the Rebels.
Right.
So they're a good team. And I mean, we said it on Saturday. This is a parameter you can look at this team on. And now, Bernie, I want to ask you. You said before last game's broadcast that you could see that looking at the schedule and trying to be as objective as possible, that the Rebels would win 4 games. Looking at the schedule, they wouldn't win a road game. After seeing this game, and especially to me, the growth of Tyrell Green in such a short period of time, do you still feel that way?
Well, what I want to focus on is tonight's game. I don't know what the Rebels are going to look like when they have to go on the road, the Mountain West Conference, in sub-zero temperatures, and the conference is always different. But what I did see tonight leads me to believe that even though there are some very painful aspects about this team that are continue to be serious bugaboos, you can't turn the ball over 23 times. You just can't do it. I still think Coach Menzies has to figure out someone that can run the offense he wants to run. He never stops coaching. But Chekna Dembele really impressed me. Tyrell Green, if they were to name an MVP after 12 games, I don't see how it wouldn't be Tyrell Green. 23 points, 7 rebounds tonight. Troy Baxter looks athletic. He's getting much more confident. When they needed it most, Javon Mooring comes up with a couple of big-time plays. Chris Clyburn was outstanding. He did a very good job in the second half guarding the point guard Rodriguez. That probably went unnoticed by some folks, maybe not. Steve Cofield was at the post-game presser. We've got some sound. We'll get to a little later in the show. from Clyburn and Tyrell Green. And what's interesting, Brian, in spite of some oddball statistics tonight, the Rebels managed to come away with a win because they did what they needed to do when they needed to do it.
Well, they absolutely did. And you said Menzies is looking for a floor general or guard to run the offense the way he wants to run it. Bernie, I think he just wants a floor general in general. Mooring at the end of the game, it is amazing because somehow it's like the last 5 minutes of a game. Maybe you just need to somehow convince him that there's only 5 minutes to go when the game starts, because he really seems to be more focused, more of a leader, and two steals at the end of the game. I mean, really, Bernie, he sealed the fate of Southern Illinois tonight.
He's got the cojones of a burglar. He wants the ball in his hand, and he's determined to make a play. And that's not all. You know, there were a couple of bailouts. There were a couple of goofy possessions where they lost track of the shot clock midway through the second half and threw up a couple of long bombs and didn't go in. But the Rebels were scrappier tonight. I really thought they fought hard. Again, I can't say enough good things about Chuck and Dembele. I just like his game. I like the way he gets after it. And on the offense side of the ball, you started to see some offensive plays, pick and rolls going through Dembele. That might be something. He made back-to-back layups after pick and rolls. And I think you might start to see perhaps the Rebels establish somewhat of a half-court offense. Again, not consistent, not necessarily fluid, but they did what they needed to do when they needed to do it. 364-1100, want to hear you hear what your thoughts are tonight, folks, on this game. Because, Brian, like I said, this to me was a defining win. I had said it many times before, the Rebels against opponents like UC Riverside, Southern Utah, Northern Arizona, they're winning those games. You would expect them to because they are, let's be frank, they're from lesser conferences. Incarnate Words from the Southland Conference, they're picked to finish 10th. You expect to win that. You don't expect to beat a Duke. You don't necessarily expect to beat an Oregon. You don't necessarily expect to beat a Kansas. You would like to see the Rebels compete. But tonight, this was truly sort of a coin flip type game. The Missouri Valley Conference, very competitive. They beat each other up quite a bit. I thought that Southern Illinois had the look of a veteran team. They played man defense. They know what they want to do. They know when they want to do it. And they had one of the better point guards we'll see coming into the Thomas and Mack this year.
Well, Bernie, you know, the thing that I saw tonight in this team was I saw the grit from the beginning.
Yes.
They ran the 2-3 zone. It worked well. Like you said, they got away from it, came back to it, and it didn't work as well. But what I liked is the grit right up front. Then coming out and making a statement at the beginning, not falling behind by 8-10 points right away and putting themselves in a hole. That was, if anything, something that was different that we haven't seen from this team in bigger games. But the only thing I will say, Bernie, I'm real glad that they won this game, because I was actually talking to fans before the game started, and everyone expected them to win. And that kind of scared me a little bit, because this was by no means a gimme.
Not at all. And even though the Rebels had a 7-point halftime lead, there were some adjustments that Salukis made, and Rodriguez became more aggressive, trying to look for gaps in the defense, which he found. And as the gap was closed, as it were, the Rebels did go to a 2-3 zone at the 10:30 mark in the second half when the game tied. And the Salukis proceeded to go on a 5-0 run. There was better ball movement. Fletcher dunked, again, attacking the gaps in the zone. Then Fletcher hit a three. Nobody closed out on him. They got out of position. Coach Menzies went back to a man-to-man. So there were a lot of, chess piece-type movements tonight between both coaches. But the Rebels responded when they needed to. Again, folks, this is a caller-driven show. The fans, the callers, you are what make this show. So without further ado, let's get the ball rolling. Let's go out to the phone lines. We're joined by Fernando. Fernando, thanks for checking in tonight on Rebel Extra.
Hey, guys. I was at the game tonight, and I agree the half-court offense needs more work, and I'm sure that'll come on better as the season goes. And the crowd tonight had more energy, and
I
really liked it. A lot of energy and a lot of cheering for the Rebels, and which I liked, and I predicted 18 wins, so 11 away.
Well,
I hope they get past that.
That's going to require them to win at least 10 games in conference, maybe 11, and the key to watch, Fernando, the Rebels have only been off their home floor three times. They played one game at T-Mobile, they played a game at Southern Utah, And then they played they played at Arizona State and Oregon, and it's been more difficult on the road. So what's going to happen is the Rebels are going to have to show that they can win on the road in the Mountain West Conference. Are you confident they can do that?
Yes, I'm very confident. I'm positive, and I'm going to be optimistic throughout the whole season.
Fair enough, my friend. Well, you have been consistent about your optimism.
Okay, take care, guys.
All right, thanks for checking in.
I love the optimism, Bernie, and I think we should be optimistic. I just don't want you to get overly excited and, again, have patience when it comes to this team. And one thing you called attention to a second ago, Bernie, when you talked about Cheick Dembele, I'll tell you what, and you heard it, he is so coachable. And I really made it a point today in the first half when I was there before I came to the station to watch him when he came off the floor. He stops at every coach and absorbs like a sponge.
Yes, he
and
does.
You know, the problem is not enough players do that. And these players, based on where they came from and how they got here, every one of them should be absolutely all ears every time they come off the floor. Listen to Menzies. He's been successful where he's been. He believes in you. And that's the one thing, like you said, most of these players, they go right down to the end of the bench. High fives at the end of the bench. You got to stop and listen, man. You have to learn because they need to improve.
Fernando had mentioned the crowd was engaged when the Rebels trailed 55-52 at the 7:21 mark. Poizer hit a big three to tie the game. The crowd jumped to their feet, standing ovation. And in the next two possessions, the Rebels took advantage of the man-to-man defense and capitalized with two straight pick-and-roll plays and looked pretty good doing it. And by the way, kudos to Coach Menzies. The Rebels led 32-28, called timeout before the half ended, and coach called for a play, and it was really something to watch. Tyrell Green cut across the lane, took advantage of a pick, knocked down a three to let the first half in, and it looked like a very well-designed play. The Rebels had good spacing, good ball movement, and you say to yourself, if you can find that kind of consistency, then this team, again, will continue to have more and more success. Let's go back out to the phone lines. We're joined by Mike. Mike, thanks for checking in tonight on Rebel Extra.
Hey, guys. Hey, talking about that pick and roll, I was noticing during that part of the game, Chef was open quite a few times, and it was almost like they froze him out. Finally, when they did go to him, he traveled the first time.
Right, right.
But it paid dividends after that. But I was wondering why they didn't go to him earlier. He was wide open.
Not paying attention. Lack of awareness, experience, you saw the same thing. And I think Coach saw it too. And when they were able to correct it, there were some possessions. Not always. I mean, there were far too many turnovers. I'll tell you, when the Rebels got their 20th turnover and Southern Illinois tied the game, I thought these turnovers are really starting to catch up. But to answer your question, Mike, and you bring up it's an excellent observation. Obviously, it's an awareness, a recognition that the Rebels have to be able to make and therefore make the good decision and make the right pass.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Mike.
You know, Bernie, what I'm going to say about this, and Mike brings up a very good point, and how they did not have the recognition of Dembele. I saw the same thing, him break open underneath. Keep this in mind. There is a distinct difference between high school and college and between D2 and JUCO and D1.
Yeah.
These are JUCO transfers, a lot of them. D2 players, a couple of them. All high school players, the rest of them. Give these guys a chance to grow. That's the thing. The recognition isn't there, Bernie, because they're not at this level of play yet.
Well, but 12 games in, Brian.
I know. I still believe, again, to mesh a team that had a core of three players, is 12 games really enough to mesh a full brand? You're taking a brand spanking new team.
That's right. But you start to begin to understand the concepts that coach wants to run.
And they are. I think they are understanding those, Bernie. I do see, I said, Tyrell Green. Can you imagine a year ago right now, and I think Robert Smith said this during the broadcast, can you imagine me and you sitting here doing Rebel Extra and me saying, hey, Bernie, can you imagine where UNLV would be without Tyrell Green?
He's been huge. There's no question. And it's been especially needed because no Dwayne Morgan, no Christian Jones. You've got 14 rebounds to make up for when they're not on the floor, and Steve Cofield informs me we're not going to know their status until at least tomorrow. So no updates on them. But perhaps it's been somewhat of a blessing in disguise because Cheick Dembele is getting more minutes, and I just love the kid's fight. He fights for every rebound. He's all over the place. He's, as you said, absorbs coaching. He's a very coachable kid, obviously, looking to get better, and he's getting more confident, and he's getting valuable experience and valuable minutes, and they're contributing. He's contributing to, victories. He had 7 rebounds and 3 block shots tonight against a pretty good team, and this young man, prior to his getting his first start as a college player a couple games ago, had only had 33 minutes on the floor all year. Checked into Belly, he's not only productive, he's energetic.
Well, and he's got size, the best size we have on this team. We don't have a big team at all, and Cheick Dembele is the anomaly on a small team, if you want to look at it that way. But, Bernie, I want to tell you, you know, you're talking about the getting Morgan back, getting Jones back. We need him desperately, but here's the thing. Even if they come back, Bernie, and they're able to play Thursday, and if they were at 100%, please be realistic out there, and let's look at this. This Kansas team could play with, and I think, beat the 1990-91 team.
So well, they beat Duke.
That's what I'm saying. This team could beat the national championship team. Now, would they be? I don't know. I think that team would probably beat them. They had more senior-laden players, and kids stayed longer back then. But this Kansas team is a very talented, gifted basketball team with 5 potential future NBA players on it. Don't have any expectations for this Thursday night except that it's going to give UNLV some great hardcore experience.
Let's talk about that later in the show. I still want to focus on tonight because In spite of 23 turnovers, which I just can't get my mind around, this is something that continues to plague the Rebels. You ask yourself, how do you overcome that? Well, you shoot 57% from the field, which the Rebels did. You shoot 41% from three-point land, which the Rebels did. The Rebels, without Dwayne Morgan and Christian Jones, out-rebounded. Big time. They out-rebounded Southern Illinois 36-22, made their free throws 11-14, 79%. Add it all up, it's a 7-point victory. It didn't feel like a 7-point victory, but that's what happened. Again, some key plays down the stretch. The Rebels were very gritty. They were clutch.
They were clutch. And you know, it's funny. I'm smiling over here because the Rebels had 23 turnovers. And we're saying it's a 7-point victory. Let me tell you something, Bernie. I want to know how many times teams have won a game when they've turned the ball over 23 times in a game. And you said early on, I'm listening to you the last 5 minutes after, you just kept saying, I just feel like they're going to win the game. And my exact words to you sitting in the other room were, I'm not going to say a thing. I don't want to jinx them. I am amazed with that amount of turnovers. I don't care who you're playing.
It's incredible.
It's staggering.
Well, those are 23 possessions that essentially you give away when you turn the ball over. And many of them are unforced. But there were some other silver linings. Mike Rodriguez, the point guard for Southern Illinois, is everything as advertised. And I want to give Chris Clyburn top credit. In addition to 11 points and 7 rebounds, Chris Clyburn did an excellent job shadowing Rodriguez in the second half, a very crafty point guard who can create his own offense, but he can drive and kick. Again, Southern Illinois looked to me like an experienced veteran team. This felt like a conference game, and that's why I felt tonight's victory was so impressive for UNLV. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back on the other side, Steve Cofield was at the press game conference presser. Did I say that in English right? He was at the post-game presser.
There you go.
I haven't even been drinking, folks, honestly. And he got some sound from Chris Clyburn and Tyrell Green, who combined for huge contributions tonight. They combined for 34 points and 14 rebounds. But it was their presence on the floor and heads-up plays they made when the Rebels needed the most that never truly allowed Southern Illinois to enjoy a lead or allow the Rebels to fall behind in the sense that they felt like they were playing from behind. So when we come back on the other side, more of your calls, 364-1100, and we'll hear from Chris Clyburn and Tyrell Green, courtesy of Steve Cofield. So stick with us, folks. Big win tonight. The Rebels get it done, 68-61. The 12 days of Christmas continues. Stick and stay. You're listening to Rebel Extra.
Text the show by sending ESPN to 69187 or give us a call at 364-1100. This is Rebel Extra.
Back on Rebel Extra, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. Bernie Fratto, Brian Feldman in tonight. Producer extraordinaire Bobby Machado turning all the dials and keeping us on the air. Give us a call, 364-1100, text to 69187. Joining the action, preface your text with ESPN. Lots of notable performances tonight. Again, Tyrell Green, 23.7 rebounds. Chris Clyburn, 11.7 rebounds. Checked into Dembele, 7 rebounds, 3 blocks. Zion Morgan, Brian, 5 points tonight, including a 3. Troy Baxter, who's getting more confident, 8 points, 4 rebounds. Jalen Poyser, who had a rough game, frankly, until they got to the second half, manages to get 10 points. Javon Mooring, a kid I can't he may be a bit of a wild man, but I'll tell you what, he's got a flair for the dramatic. 6 assists, 6 rebounds. I'm going to highlight that because anytime you got your guards rebounding the ball, that's a thing to behold.
Well, Javon Mooring, I think, just has to have more and more game experience at this level, Bernie. He definitely has the talent to play. We can see he has shooting ability. So maybe it's just more time that's needed, but there definitely has to be more court awareness by him. If you're going to play the guard position, especially if you're going to try to run the point, you have to have court awareness. And I don't know what it is, Bernie. He seems to be lacking court awareness. Is that a good way to put
That's fair. That's fair. Awareness, recognition. And we're going to go back out to the phone lines in just a second. But, you know, a couple things. Rebels, they did run the pick and roll tonight. They were successful sometimes. Sometimes they were unable to find the open man. But the Rebels also played a little bit better position defense, not always going for the steals. When you do that, you end up leaving a gap in your defense. They played better position defense and stayed in front of their man. And all in all, even though they opened the door for Southern Illinois to steal this game multiple times, it was the Rebels who made the key plays down the stretch to seal the 68-61 victory. Let's go back out to the phone lines. We're joined by Piper. Piper, you're next up on Rebel Extra tonight. How are you?
Pretty good there. I just got a few questions. First is, I went to 2 games this past 3 days. I went to UNLV in Southern Illinois tonight.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to Kentucky and North Carolina.
Yep.
And it was like watching a professional team compared to maybe a junior college team. That's what the games reminded me of today. And I want to ask one question to you, and I'll give my answer. How do you beat Kansas? I think you beat Kansas by slowing the ball down, running 4 quarters, and basically you take all the time off. You can basically you go possession by possession to try to stay in the game. What's your thought?
All right. Well, I appreciate you checking in, Piper. My thoughts are this, that what I think the Rebels have to focus on is better decision-making, getting rid of unforced errors, having quality possessions, disciplined defense, communicate, switch, and what you'll find is whatever the scoreboard is going to be is whatever the scoreboard is going to be. It'll be a byproduct of being an efficient defensive team and a smart offensive team over 40 minutes. Obviously, this is going to be a tall order against the number 3 team in the country, and you saw what happened against Duke, I'm sure, Piper. Well, this Kansas team beat Duke. Yeah, I know Duke was a little banged up, but so what? Kansas still beat them. So what I see it, Brian, is this is the final tune-up game before conference play, because a week from Wednesday night, you've got to travel to Colorado Springs. Larry Eustace, the Colorado State Rams, will be lying in wait. They've got a quality road win at Colorado, Pac-12 team, and they're going up against one of the best coaches working in college basketball. It gets a tough place to play, Wolf Arena. So Thursday night, Piper, is really almost, in a sense, sort of a tune-up game. Yes, you play to win, but winning or whatever the scoreboard is going to be will be a direct byproduct of, say, not turning the ball over 23 times.
You know, Bernie, what I'm going to say, and Piper, to answer your question bluntly, what can they do to beat Kansas? They can't. Okay, and I mean, I'm sorry, but stranger things have happened. You want to beat Kansas, if you can somehow convince the NCAA in the next 2 days to get rid of the shot clock, we can hire, what was this, Pete Carroll from Princeton?
Remember him?
If we can hire Pete Carroll, and he can give us that 4 corners defense where they don't take a shot in maybe an hour, have a chance to
really
beat Kansas.
How long can Jovan Mooring go without taking a shot?
Oh, 10 seconds.
Okay.
10 seconds.
All right. So there's your 4 corners there.
You wanted to know, he has to, how do you beat him, Bernie? Like you said, I really like the way you put it. This is the final tune-up game before we go again in the Mountain West.
And let's be fair, before we go to the Sound, Steve Cofield was at the post game presser, we definitely want to hear from Chris Clyburn and Terrell Green. We're getting to know this team, and I like this team. I like watching them. And when you juxtapose North Carolina, Kentucky against UNLV, well, there's some specific reasons. Marvin Menzies didn't get to get the job till April 15th. The fact that they were able to cobble together a group with some talent of this ilk in the short amount of time he had this late in the process is, frankly speaking, a miracle. They're 7-5. They're beating the teams. I'll take the blame for saying beating the teams they're supposed to beat. Well, what does that mean? It's very simple. When you play a team that's supposed to that's picked to finish 10th in the Southland Conference, Incarnate Word, you're supposed to beat them. You're supposed to beat UC Riverside when they lost their entire backcourt last year. They're picked to finish 8th in their conference and so on and so forth. But the Rebels are doing it. But as we talked about Saturday night, Brian, the variance in margin of victory blows me away. The Rebels have had some 20-point-plus victories, and they've had a 49-point loss. So how does that translate over in a conference? Tonight, I think, was a window into the future, meaning conference play. And two gentlemen who had a key hand in it, Chris Clyburn and Tyrell Green, let's hear from them, courtesy of Steve Cofield in tonight's post-game presser.
Well, I mean, the original play was to find check down low, but he had scored 3 in a row, so my guy helped and he cheated, so I just came off the screen and the open side shot like a normal shot, really. That's basically it.
How are you guys able to both of you? How were you committing 23 turnovers? How were you able to put that behind down the stretch weak point you had to?
We're kind of upset with that right now. You know, a lot of them were unforced, but I feel like we're going to watch the film. We're going to clean up on it. A lot of them are unforced, but we have to be more strong with the ball, especially with the team coming in. They force a lot of pressure. So we have to be more strong with the ball, but we will be.
Tyrell, you said you shot a normal shot, but it seemed like you're smiling a little bit. It seemed like you're good. How do you feel hitting that shot and being in that moment?
I mean, those moments are always fun as a player, you know, just living within the game, you know, you're into it, it's fun, everyone's cheering, you know, regardless of even if I didn't make it, I would have been cheering if someone else would have made it, so I mean, it's just a great feeling overall, the team, just to see a guy make that shot in that moment.
Do you feel more comfortable posting up now than getting the first couple games of the season?
Oh yeah, you know, especially when they switch, you know, and have a small guy on me, you know, take that mismatch and if they double, skip it over to someone open for the shot, so I'm a lot more comfortable with that.
Chris, can you talk about their inbound play when you guys, Joe and Kim, with the ball, and what happened on that inbound, sort of what were you seeing from your perspective?
I just saw the ball go up, you know, I just took a chance, and then luckily JoJo had my back, you know, that's the team for, you know, one of us take a chance, then the other one got each other's back.
What does it mean to win a game like this tonight when you don't play your best and
to
play away?
Man, it was a tough win, but at the end of the day, we just got to put this behind us. You know, we had a lot of turnovers, but once we get back to the drawing board, we going to look at the mistakes we made, look at the things we can work on, then we're going to become a better team each day.
Did it feel good for you guys to be able to dig deep, given you had the quick turnaround from the game in Oregon?
Oh, of course, most definitely. I mean, this game, I feel like we needed it, you know, brought out the best of us. I felt like, you know, we were, that last 4 minutes, we were really active. We were talking on defense, but we need to try and bring that for the whole 40 minutes, and that's what coach is preaching on us every game.
Since you guys are both going to handle the ball a lot, Kansas obviously starts 4 guards, puts a lot of pressure. Talk a little about that matchup on Thursday.
I mean, this is going to be a normal game for us. I mean, it's just another game on our schedule, I mean, to close out the Christmas break. So we have to come in, and we know we have to be locked in and ready to go because they're going to be ready for us for sure.
Anything else? Anything else? All right. Thanks, guys.
That was Tyrell Green and Chris Clyburn, who both played key pivotal roles in tonight's game, even early on in the game. Tyrell Green was extremely aggressive to the hole the first couple of possessions, scored early. Chris Clyburn got out on a break, and Troy Baxter hit him on a nice runner to put UNLV up 11-9 to take their first lead of the game. I mentioned earlier in the show, Clyburn did a great job guarding Rodriguez, the point guard, Mike Rodriguez, for Southern Illinois. He's about 40% of their offense, like you said, Brian. And if you think about their answers there, they were thoughtful. They felt they needed this game tonight. Quick turnaround coming back. Obviously, they want to go into Kansas feeling good about themselves, and they should.
Well, definitely they should after this game. Bernie, we have to remember, they're less than 48 hours removed from taking a whacking in Portland on Saturday night to the Oregon Ducks. So absolutely, they should feel good about themselves. This should give them a boost of confidence. If there's any way to get either Jones or Morgan back for Thursday night, that'll help out. But the bottom line is, it's a growing process. They did answer the questions correctly. You know what bothers me, though, Bernie? Listen to the press conferences. I hate when reporters, and it definitely wasn't Cofield because I know the voices, I know who it was, and I'm not... Don't ask questions to glorify errant three-point shots because it's making Terrell Green think that's the right. He went 4 of 5 tonight. Bernie, how many times is Terrell Green going to go 4 of 5 from three-point line? Let's be realistic.
Yeah, but he's going to have the green light, pun intended.
I just want to see.
Well, no, Brian, you bring up a good point. If you're on a golf course, I don't want to throw cold water on this win at all, because when you add it up. Coming off the tough road trip to Oregon, quick turnaround, no Dwayne Morgan, no Christian Jones. You got to replace 14 rebounds. The team turns the ball over 23 times against what I thought was a quality team. Southern Illinois is a good team. 22 wins last year, plenty of starters back. They showed throughout the game their veteran presence. They wouldn't go away. I don't know how the Rebels won by 7, but they did. I don't want to throw cold water on the victory, but your point is duly noted. Neatly tucked in, various junctures of this game, there are still too many forced shots with bad footwork, too many quick threes by Terrell Green. I get it. Those shots drop, and it sort of masks some of the other deficiencies the team has. They're going to have to clean that up. Again, I can't emphasize this enough. It's much easier to play on your home floor. I don't know what the team is going to look like when you have to go in the dead of cold and the dead of winter to Air Force and Colorado Springs. Wyoming. The Pit, New Mexico. These are not easy venues to play at. When you go down to San Diego State, you got to negotiate the show. I think Nevada is going to have their best club they've had in years. Talk to me then. But I want to savor this victory tonight because I'm really proud of these guys. Let's go back out to the phone lines, and we are joined by Kevin. Kevin, how are you tonight? Welcome back to Rebel Extra.
What's up, guys? Hey, you know what the interesting thing here going into league? I mean, the Kansas game, whatever happens there happens. But there's got to be 7 or 8 coaches, head coaches. I mean, besides Reno, which I think is the cream of the crop, and San Diego State. I mean, there are winnable games out there in this Mountain West Conference this year. I mean, if you're Air Force, Boise State, New Mexico, Utah State, San Jose State, if you're that one of those head coaches, you're thinking, man, the same thing. You know, there's games to be won out there.
Well, I agree with you, Kevin, but I'm always cautious. Last year, Mitch and I both thought, and I own this, the Rebels would go through conference 13-5, and you look up and they're 0-3, and you ask yourself, how did that happen? So for whatever reason, when conference play starts, it's always more daunting. You know, Chris Wynn texted in, look, Coach Menzies was very upset by the 23 turnovers, but he was happy with the grit and the fact that they shot over 50%. But the 23 turnovers is going to catch up to us at some point.
There was a guy. Do you guys know there was a guy on Reno, Nevada's team that got suspended about 2 weeks ago for a golf court? Is he out for the year, or is he going to be eligible again?
I don't know. We'd have to look into it. I don't believe he was a starter. When I first heard it was a center, I thought, oh my goodness, I hope it's not Cameron Oliver. I enjoyed watching that young man last year, and it's not him. So thanks for a heads up on that. We'll look into that. Maybe we'll revisit that in a later show or Thursday night. Any final thoughts, Kevin?
No, thanks, guys.
All right, thanks for checking in.
Yeah, Bernie, I hesitate to say anything bad because I want to savor this victory, and I think all UNL fans and everybody should. But again, take it for what it is. The 23 turnovers are glaring. Like I said, and Bernie, all you have to do is simple math. Take away 3 NBA three-pointers because 3 of their three-pointers, I was there in the first half.
I'm with you.
NBA three-pointers, you can't live and die by those. But again, we're hearing it from every caller for the most part. this team, you know, you talk about the one caller that said, the caller before Kevin, when he talked about the game the other night, you know, the Kentucky game. Please, please, please do not look at this team and compare again. You said that, you know, we look like a JUCO team. This is kind of a JUCO team. And they're playing at this level. They're getting better. Give them a chance and really savor this victory. Because, Bernie, I agree with you. You said it Saturday. This was a defining moment for this young season and this inexperienced basketball team. Their win tonight proved that they will be able to defend the home court against teams of similar capabilities to Southern Illinois, similar capabilities to UNLV. But again, the road is going to be wide open. Will they steal a game or two on the road? You thought Saturday not. I believe they'll find a way to steal a game or two, but that still means maybe only six victories. We have to settle in and be prepared for this. And one more point, Bernie, really quickly. I want to say this. I believe 100% if everyone relaxes out there, enjoys what they have, doesn't put too many expectations on this team, they'll do better than you think. And what I really love is it is the first time in a couple of years, Bernie, we have come into a season with absolutely no expectations. So everything they do in a positive light, we have to reflect on and look at that.
Coaches will have this team on film now. Conference is going to be tough. And yes, the Rebels were nursing a 7-point lead at halftime. It evaporated very quickly. Why? Bull, love that kid's name. I wonder if he's any relation to Manute. Yeah, right. They held him scoreless in the first half, but within seconds into the second half, he got loose on a dunk. Why? Because Checkton and Belly lost him in experience. Chris Clyburn then hits a three, but Southern Illinois comes right back down the other way on a fast break. Bowl on a dunk, DeBelly happened to fall down. Then all of a sudden, Mike Rodriguez starts to take over. Penetrate and kick. Fletcher hits a three. Couple of fast breaks. Rebels out of position. At one point, when the score was 38-37, and all of a sudden, I don't know what was happening, but Southern Illinois was much too easy to dribble and penetrate and get into the lane. They were much more aggressive. At one point, Coach Menzies just turned his back. And couldn't look for just a second because obviously it was back to the recognition and awareness that I'm sure he preaches in practice. These are things that are going to have to be cleaned up. And until I see them cleaned up, I am of the belief they're going to struggle on the road.
Little things. Javon Mooring, like you looked at when Menzies turns his back, one of the things that they do, and again, this is something you see at a lower level. When you pass the ball, you never get yourself caught in the air trying to pass a basketball.
Never leave your feet.
And Darrell Green, our best player, leaves his feet. Mooring does it all the time. He throws bounce passes from 3 feet away. And it's not a matter of ripping. I'm trying to stay positive. What I'm saying is these are coachable, teachable things, why they have to listen to their coach. Because Menzies went nuts. When Mooring did that bounce pass from 3 feet away, he went crazy, and he should. But these are the mistakes that need to be cleaned up.
The operative word for this team on a go-forward basis is going to be find consistency to the best of your ability. The Rebels had a 25-19 lead, three straight turnovers. The next thing you know, Southern Illinois is getting easy baskets. The game's tied, and Southern Illinois becomes energized by that. Then the Rebels get the ball on an inbound play. They take it down the floor in a quick three without the offense taking any time to set up whatsoever. Tyrell Green jacks up a three, and it goes in. 2 seconds into the shot clock, and the Rebels get themselves another lead. But it's almost like a false sense of security. It's happening. They're making their shots. This is their identity. These guys like to shoot threes. And regardless of the game, even in the Duke game, there was a flurry of three straight threes in about a minute and a half. Larry Bush, Jalen Poyser, Tyrell Green. There was a flurry of threes tonight. There was a flurry of threes Saturday night in Oregon. Instead of losing by 29, you lose by 20. This team can shoot threes, apparently. Maybe they really can. The question is, will it be enough over the course of 40 minutes when you go into unfriendly territory?
You know, like you said, Bernie, this day, nobody misses anything. Every coach out there now has film on these Rebels. They are going to get out and defend that perimeter like there is no tomorrow. Anybody that's hitting threes with consistency is going to be shut down. They are going to make UNLV drive the lane. They're going to make their guards penetrate and dish. And if they can't do it, we're going to lose a lot of games this year. It's that simple.
Be interesting to see the chess match that ensues. But if the Rebels shoot 57%, not rebound their opponent by 14 and keep making free throws, they're going to compete. We're going to take our final break of the evening. And when we come back, we'll wrap things up. look ahead to Kansas. He's Brian. I'm Bernie. Rebels win 68-61. Stick with us, folks. Don't go away. You're listening to Rebel Extra.
Now, back to Rebel Extra on ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM.
Back on Rebel Extra, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM, Bernie Fratto, Brian Feldman.
There you go. I was going to help. I'm sorry about that. I was going to help you out here. I didn't know what you were beckoning for. So,
well, you know, a couple things I wanted to blurt out that I forgot to earlier, things that don't necessarily show up in the box score. 7 minutes into the game, Chuck Dembele diving on the floor, and the fans loved it, right? Tyrell Green breaking out the ball fake tonight. Fans loved it. One young man I feel a little bad for, Ochi Ofebu, just can't find his stroke. No field goals tonight, and I get the sense that the leash may be getting shorter for him as Coach Menzies looks for combinations and rotations that are going to be consistent, you know, consistently productive. And so the Rebels don't have these peaks and valleys. Brian, what are some of your takeaways tonight?
Well, first I want to just mention a good friend of mine, Josh, just texted me and said, hey, you guys are great and you're positive, but one of the things we haven't spoken a lot about, he said, to him, the most positive thing is mention a little bit more about Troy Baxter Jr. and how good he looks. And, you know,
Twice.
You did.
I talked about how not only how athletic he is and the fact that he chipped in 8 points and four rebounds, but that he's getting more confident. I mentioned it early in the show.
He did. And I want to say he did mention that, and no question, I watched it. There are a couple of solid Division I plays that this kid makes, and he's the real deal. And I think Mark Anderson said it on Saturday that in a couple of years he's going to be the best player on this team. I believe that wholeheartedly watching him.
He's a four-star player out of Tallahassee, Florida. Arguably, perhaps Coach Menzies' most prized recruit, as it were. Look, you know, I don't want to rank them. It's like picking out your favorite noodle in a plate of spaghetti because there's a lot of guys that have come in that have proven they can play this game. The whole right now is not as great as the sum of its parts, or hopefully it will be. But you are starting to see more flashes. The pick and rolls, better position defense tonight. If you can eliminate the turnovers, some of the bad decisions. This team can start to find its ceiling. I think the Rebels beat a quality opponent tonight. In a tough spot, coming back from Oregon without two of their top players, you've got to give them credit.
I concur completely. The 23 turnovers, I think, is a fluke. You won't see that many turnovers. They've got to stay on their feet, and they have to keep growing and learning. I think they all ought to take a page out of Chuck Dembele's book and listen to every coach as you walk down the bench until we have this thing down to a science. But I did want to say, Bernie, been a pleasure working with you prior to the holidays. I don't know if I'll be able to talk to you again before New Year's, so I wanted to say that as well.
Thank you.
And, hey, really quickly, all I want to say is, as I part today, all I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. Okay, I want a real point guard wearing a UNLV jersey that can lead the floor and lead them. And I want a pet that I can name Thick Bowl.
That's oh, I love that name. Yeah,
I want a pet that
he's
Thick
the center, folks, for the Southern Illinois Salukis. We've had a few classic names. How about the kid from Cal State Fullerton, Lionheart Leslie? That's his real name.
Lionheart. That was not spelled Lionheart.
Right. And apparently, when his mother was pregnant, he almost didn't survive the pregnancy. And when he was born, the doctor says his kid must have the heart of a lion, and named him Lionheart.
What do you think Bull's parents thought when they named him Thick Bull? When she was. All right, I'll leave it at that.
That's a story for a different day. But I do like that name. I do like some of the names that are coming through the Thomas and Mack. But listen, let's not bury that lead you just mentioned. And that's the Rebels are going to have to find someone that can run this offense on a consistent basis. I contend conference will be more daunting than people realize. But what a great win tonight. You'll certainly take it. Brian, thanks and great job. That's going to do it for tonight's edition of Rebel Extra. On behalf of my broadcast team, producer extraordinaire, Bobby Machado, and, of course, Brian Feldman. Brian, I'm sorry I was trying to walk and chew gum at the same time a minute ago when I botched your name. I want to thank Steve Coolfield for taking the time to getting us the sound from Chris Clyburn and Tyrell Green. I'm Bernie Fratto, bidding you good night. Next up for the Runner Rebels, a date Thursday with Rock Chalk Jayhawk, 6 p.m. tip at the Thomas and Mack. We hope you can all come out for that. Let's pack the Mack. Let's give it a try. Tonight's final score. In the meantime, UNLV Runner Rebels, 68. Southern Illinois Salukis, 61. Happy holidays, folks. Drive safely and go, Rebels.